Do you know what, Jen? I don't think I've ever looked better in my life. I think I'm at the peak of my physical prowess.
I think you are.
At the moment. And yeah. I would love to share that with people. I'd love people to be able to see me in the flesh.
It's selfish to keep this.
It is. This amount of radiance needs to be shared. So I thought what I would do is invite people along to see me in real life.
To be in the same room at the Museum of Comedy.
At the Museum of Comedy, because comedy is what I do most of the time.
And you belong in a museum.
No.
It was, how rude.
My self-esteem had climbed and now it's back down on the floor. But no, I love the Museum of Comedy and I'm going to go there and I'm going to take my raw magnetism with me on Wednesday the 24th of April.
Can I come too?
You can. Just try not to sort of detract from my glow, you know.
Okay.
We are going to have the magnificent Jenny Ryan, a magnificent guest.
Ooh.
TBA. Wednesday the 24th of April. Put it in your diaries. Bring your sunglasses because I am shining.
Yeah, get your tickets now. The link is in our social media or from the Museum of Comedy website.
Oh, please do come. Jen's all right as well.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
What's your name?
Jenny Ryan.
Correct. What's my name?
Lucy Porter.
Correct. What are we doing?
We're making a podcast all about quizzing.
Correct. What's it called?
Fingers on Buzzers.
Correct. Hello and welcome once again.
Welcome.
Welcome to Fingers on Buzzers. We've gone very sort of twee, haven't we? I don't know.
Like kind of early home service, woman's hour. We're allowed on the radio for...
Stay calm.
Just 50 minutes per day.
So, hello. Coming up today...
We have got a wonderful guest.
Oh, he's one of the finest.
I will never know.
I don't know, but it's Alan Connor, who is a delight, a joy, and an absolute poppet. He really is. I've got a mad pash for him.
I'm absolutely terrified now. Actually. I feel like, have we just graduated from Mallory Towers or something?
Oh, God, don't take me back there. Don't take me back to 1950s private school.
We've got a listener quiz as well.
From Alice Cook.
I want to say Alice Cooper so much. We've got Alan Connor and Alice Cook, and my eyes just mash them together to make Alice Cooper every time.
If Alice Cooper is listening, do send us a quiz, because I'd love to see what Alice Cooper's brain would come up with.
I would not be at all surprised, though. He is a man of many interests, is Alice Cooper.
He is a man of many parts. and we will also be discussing today more on hosting and creating your own quizzes, and we are going to discuss something that is a hot topic amongst our listeners, which is how to stop people cheating. Be that through draconian, draconian measures like capital punishment being strung up at the front of the quiz, or making cheat-proof questions, or trying to engage them in other ways. So we'll find our tips and tricks next. So, as we have previously discussed, cheating in pub quizzes is one of the major problems in today's society.
Yeah, a lot of people you hear now saying, why should I bother going down to the pub quiz when, you know, they're all, you know, Googling all the answers and there's no point if everyone's cheating.
Yeah.
But that shows me that the host hasn't got much imagination in trying to control that.
Well, it's like being a teacher, isn't it? Where you have to know what you're dealing with and deal with it swiftly and decisively. What I always love is when you go to a quiz and at the beginning, they do a really good speech about, look, we're all here for fun. There is a prize. So please don't take the mickey. We just all want to do the same thing, which is enjoy the quiz and not feel like anyone is getting an unfair advantage. And I think, good on you for addressing it, because there's, I mean, I may have mentioned this before, I've probably banged on about it, but one of the worst ever quizzes I went to was where the quiz master just kind of came round and went, oh no, people really cheat and I just never really know what to do. And you're like, if this happens every week, no wonder no one is coming to your quiz.
Yeah.
Because it is really irritating, because if people aren't interested in the quiz, then they shouldn't be there. So either if it's an amazing prize, then I would argue maybe take the prize down so you weed out people who... Because, I mean, 50 quid, right? So the quiz I went to, it was 50 quid prize money. You go, well, that's sort of quite a lot of money. Yeah. And it doesn't encourage anyone to come back. You just think, oh, yeah, I'll turn up, cheat, get 50 quid. And even if I'm caught cheating, what are the consequences?
Whereas if it's for a bottle of wine or for... you know, Sunday lunch for two at that particular pub.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Or less. A bar tab if you come back next week.
Yeah. Yes.
Which does two jobs in one, doesn't it? It ensures loyalty.
It is an absolute classic, the old beer voucher.
And I think acknowledge it is a good...
Yeah, acknowledging it, but you can be more forceful than that. So if I'm hosting, particularly a charity quiz, I will at that point say, and now feel free to rat out any of your opponents if you see any of them on their phones during a round.
Yeah.
Because that is an instant penalty and I will expect £50 donation instantly to this charity.
Nice, nice.
If you are caught. And it
love
does,
it when you get
so
forced.
People are like righteously angry with other teams. Plus they've got the, it's not we win if they get caught, it's they get caught, the charity wins, and we get a bit of a one-up as well. It's perfect.
Yeah.
So, yeah, basically set people against one another is another way of dealing with it.
Fascist tricks, really. Yeah, basically, just turn people into the Stasi is what our informers. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I think that's a great idea. I think make it everybody's responsibility, not just yours, because then it's not like them and us. It's like, well, you know, everybody's in the same boat.
I've seen places where you have to put your phone into a box so they'll provide you know a little plastic Tupperware tub for your table, and so between rounds if it's one of those quizzes where you hand in your papers you can get your phone out, because you probably, you know, there's someone in one of those teams who will desperately need to keep an eye on their phone for, you know, childcare or something. So they will get the, you know, you're allowed to unseal the box between rounds, but it must go back in.
You can check if your kidney's available, all right.
There we go.
Yes, exactly. I think that's a very good way of dealing with it. So, you know,
I remember the olden days where, you know, cheating involved someone nipping to the loos and texting, or not even pre-texting, ringing somebody at home going, Dad, do you know what the capital of Azerbaijan is? Are you near the Atlas? Sometimes you would hear them.
There was a great thing on the quiz, you know, the quiz guys. And I was reading their website and they'd been hosting a quiz for kind of celebrities. And they said there was a whole new level of tech cheating, which was people going on Twitter to ask their followers, which is stupid because it's very easily traceable.
Very obvious who's done that.
Yeah. But it's very now as well. Another good tip, actually, that I read somewhere was when you give the scores for the teams, make sure that everyone knows who they are. So if there is a team who are leading and they're cheating, then everyone keeps an eye on the leader, because you're like, oh, yeah, they're the leading team. Let's have a look at them. And if they're all on their phones, then pretty quickly people are going to go, hang on a minute. They may be in the lead, but they seem to be constantly nipping to the loo or ducking under the table to get a napkin they've dropped and being down there for about 5 minutes. So that's...
There's that angle of observing and keeping an eye on people's behaviour, but then the other way of dealing with it is the structure of the quiz itself.
Yes.
So, I mean, a good way that Quiz 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 always structure their quiz is at the end of each round you hand in your paper and it gets marked, so it's all very quick. There is not long enough to cheat on a particular round. You'd have to be very fast, very efficient, and get that paper handed in, and there's no sort of changing your answers after, let's put that in before we hand in.
Yeah, because Gary's been out
it's all done really ruthlessly, efficiently, so you've not got the opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Don't give them the rope to hang themselves with, basically.
I mean, yeah, because you can still give them enough time to chat and discuss and all the fun things about pub quiz, but not enough time to then go back and change. That's a very good point. My final point is that, of course, quiz masters and mistresses can make the questions cheat-proof.
It's very difficult, but it is possible.
Well, we are going to try. So I have tried to create some sort of examples of these. Aren't in any way perfect, I would have to say.
Look at right now.
She's on Google. So thinking of kind of interesting sort of lateral thinking kind of ways of doing questions. So some of these I've made up myself. Some of these I've shamelessly stolen from on the internet. So you can do things that are ungoogleable in that you're describing something in a way that will not be on the internet. So this is an example of a song where we've taken the lyrics and kind of paraphrased them. So which song is this describing? In an area of low pressure and high humidity, a series of bodies fall from the sky at approximately 22:30.
It's Raining Men.
I activated Siri then.
I mean, what did Siri make of
Siri
all that?
Siri wanted to... Siri thought I wanted to know about the weather. But it's not...
It's not Raining Men
yet. It's not Raining Men. Oh. No, so...
That's
slightly surreal. Yes, it's Raining Men, that's correct. What connects a single by the Pogues, an Italian island resort, and a unit of electrical current?
Wow.
Because, of course, this is sort of ungoogleable because it's a connection between three things that are not explicitly named. It's quite a good three-part. So, it's almost like a Round Britain quiz kind of question, isn't it?
I which think they're great. That is a way of approaching.
Yeah, make it sort of multi-part and all of them slightly cryptic and obscure.
So say this again.
A single by the Pogues, and it's the one that goes da la da da da.
I was thinking it's got to be Fiesta.
Da 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 Fiesta. An Italian island resort. What Italian islands are there?
Oh, is it going to be ice creams?
No.
I was thinking Fiesta Solero.
No.
Is that a
the
place?
Lovely island of Solero.
I'm there. I've booked in for a fortnight.
The Italian island resort, Gracie... Yeah.
Crepe.
I was going to give you the Gracie Fields connection there. And a unit of electrical current.
Oh, Ford cars. Are the cars?
Yes. So the unit of electrical current is the...
Current is the volt, no, amp, no.
Well, it's basically a bit of a cheat because it's a kilo ampere. So it's
I was going to say, is it the
KA?
Yes,
the
car.
Yes, it is.
Very good.
Which of Captain Ahab's legs was wooden?
Neither.
Correct.
Hey.
You see. I was trying to say his false leg, which I actually did desperately try and find which one it was, but couldn't because I couldn't be bothered to read the whole of Moby Dick. So I just Googled it.
I have read it, and
I'm not, but it's made of whalebone, of course, rather than, there is only one letter that's not in any US state name. Which letter is it?
Oh, that's so good.
And it's a good, you know, you couldn't Google that because you would have to Google every single American. You'd have to do the process of elimination, basically. Obviously, it's not Z because Arizona has a Z in it.
You've got
New Mexico with an X. You've got Virginia. You've got loads of Vs. You've got
New Jersey's got a J and a Y.
Oh, in Wyoming
with a W.
K for Kansas or Arkansas.
This is brutal.
You've got, L, just loads of those. You've got Maryland, you've got no B, you've got, God, that's terrible. I can't think of any, but...
Alabama, That's a great question.
And the answer is...
Go on.
Q.
Wow. Yep.
No Qs. Because, Albuquerque, I was going there, but that's New Mexico. Okay.
Good.
Now, the final question is a three-parter. And it's ungoogleable because what I'm doing is I am describing the title sequences of popular television shows.
Yay, I love this.
So, number one is Fighting Arrows Move Across a Map.
Dad's Army.
A man in a black and white suit.
Mad Men.
Yeah. Shall I complete the question? I may as well. A man in a black suit and white shirt falls out of a tower block. Mad Men. I love that.
Beautiful.
Love that. And then the final one, a family comes home after a day at work and school.
The Simpsons.
Yes.
Hey.
Too easy. So ungooglable, but too easy.
Lovely, though.
So thank you. But that's
another thing. You don't want to upset people at your quiz by making everything impossible. They want to get a certain chunk of them.
That's it.
But feel good about it.
One of the ways that you can stop cheating is, and again, I think this was on the Quiz website that I recommended this, that start easy so people think, oh, actually, this is a really lovely quiz. I don't need to cheat.
Yeah.
It's just going to be a great laugh and we're all going to know all the questions and then get hard later when they've established they're not going to cheat. Yeah. So that's our top tips for avoiding cheating in a quiz.
Don't cheat.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role. Like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We are delighted to be joined by one of our very favourite people, someone who is a quizzing god to me. It's the author, the quiz writer, producer, it's the one and only Mr. Alan Connor.
What an introduction.
He wasn't expecting that.
Well, you are, of course, we shall get this out of the way straight away. You are involved with the show that everybody loves, Only Connect.
Less so than I was. I was the question editor, and I remain a contributor and viewer. I quite like being able to watch it now.
Yes,
you know, it's that thing where when you make quizzes, you think, why doesn't someone do one of these for me? I'd love to answer these questions.
Oh, I know. Well, and do you have a question or a wall, indeed, that you are particularly proud of?
What, of mine?
Yes.
Mm. Ooh, that's a good question. Mm.
You can have some thinking.
I can tell you what. I had to sort of come up with some when I applied to get involved with Only Connect. I thought, what won't they have done? Mm-hmm. I didn't want to watch 8 series to work it out, but I thought, I thought it's a bit like, do you know there's that book Brewer's Phrase and Fable?
Mm-hmm.
And you sort of open it up, and you'll look for cakes, and it will tell you all sorts of like mythological references to cakes and why cakes were important in the 19th century. And I thought, I didn't have a copy of it, so I thought I had an imaginary copy in my head, and I thought, what might be in there? And I came to an idea, but I'll give you it as a question because it was on series 9, so you won't remember it. So it was what connects, and the first picture was Moses.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then there was Tom Jones, not that Tom Jones, the other Tom, the literary Tom
mm-hmm,
Jones,
mm-hmm.
a picture from the film.
Yeah,
and
I've got an answer.
Oh, you've got the answer already.
I've got an answer.
I've got nothing.
Should I say the others for the benefit of the listeners? Because I'm sure you're right.
And me.
Well,
yeah.
Do you want to guess who they are?
Okay.
Superman.
Mm-hmm.
And who would the other one have been? Superman, Tom Jones. Oh, and Heathcliff.
Oh, yeah.
So Superman would have come in last, Heathcliff probably in the middle somewhere. And so the answer is, of course...
They're foundlings.
Foundlings.
Oh, wow.
And I said to myself, I think this will go down quite well with that only connect lot, because it's a cool word, foundlings. It's not a cool thing to happen, obviously. But also, because you've got a superhero and some, like, literary stuff in there, it's what I fancifully call crossbrow.
Yes.
Both highbrow and lowbrow.
Yes.
And that's what I think Only Connect does the best, is where you can only get it if you know about, like, manga and Sanskrit at the same time.
Crossbrow, I have never heard, but I love. Crossbrow.
Let's feed it into the world.
Yeah, because actually I always think there's something quite divisive about saying, oh, that's a very highbrow quiz, oh, that's a bit lowbrow, but yeah. Cross, because middlebrow is how my comedy's been described, and I'm like, oh, middlebrow.
That sounds like unibrow.
It.
Which you're not.
Which I have.
Not currently. You're well plucked
at the moment. Oh, that's a lovely thing, crossbrow.
I like that.
So tell us a bit about your journey into quiz, Alan.
gosh, okay. Well, I mean, that was writing those questions was the first time I sort of stepped up and had to think about being a bit professional about quiz. So I've done quizzes with mates and for mates before, but you can sort of be a bit more of an arse when you do that. you don't have to have that sort of care of thinking, do you know what? If this question's too easy, that's just insulting for everyone involved.
Mm.
And if it's too hard, then there's going to be a TV studio with this haunting silence. And if there's an audience with a haunting silence, it's awful. And if there's no audience, like on Only Connect and House of Games, and there's a haunting silence, it's just as awful. And you can edit it out for the program, for the transmitted version. But that's sort of the whippoorwill of the points desert. What do you call them? Tumbleweeds blowing through, I think, have a real effect on contestants. Yes. They just look miserable and they're
left. You can see, the head goes down.
What is the point of me being here?
We've all felt that way at quizzes sometimes, haven't we? We have.
Frequently.
And you've become so knowledgeable, informed about quiz that you have written what I consider to be the definitive book on the subject, The Joy of Quiz.
Definitive in quite a small field, I would say.
a very important field, a field that I love to be in, a field that I love to lie in. It's so comprehensive because it's got the history of quizzing. It's got tips. I mean, it's amazingly helpful for anyone who is thinking of writing a quiz or getting involved in quizzing on a professional level. Mm-hmm. It's amazingly helpful and very funny, and it's also written with quizzing along the way, which is very important. I think that it's, as you did for us at the beginning there, you set questions in order to prove your points. And I absolutely love that about it. What are the most interesting things you learned while writing your book, would you say?
Ooh, that's a good one. I've learned something since, which just I've realised what I'm about to do is sort of, rather than modestly swatting away your praise, I'm about to add to it.
Good.
You're not supposed to do that, are you? But I've learned recently that there's a chapter. It's mostly fun and not that technical, but there's a chapter which goes a little bit technical about how to write a question such that you've got the more revealing knowledge coming at the end. Mm-hmm. Because it's just nicer for the person answering the question to have the options narrowed down as you witter away reading it out. And I discovered that chapter has been distributed among the question writers of a popular BBC Tea Time quiz, which my response was simultaneously, that is very, very flattering, and who scanned this in as a PDF? Why did you just buy 30 copies?
Yes.
Well, that'd be like £15 for me.
BBC cuts.
Yeah. It's our license fee would be paying for it, Alan, and there's a lot of contention about that at the moment. So
this is true.
But we will.
So let's staying with the BBC and weirdly topical as we contemplate next week's schedules being mainly hand washing tutorials and episodes of Peppa Pig that have got the Key Stage 1 curriculum kind of wedged into them or something. I'd learned that Quiz, which I sort of thought probably went back, you know, at least as far as Victorian times, if not much, much further back, doesn't at all. And it made, as soon as I thought about, what would it be for a Victorian host or hostess to do a quiz of an evening, I thought, actually, that does make sense. Like, why would you spend hours thinking who's coming to my parlour and what do they know about? And I'll get these questions. I better check the answers are right. And you need a bit of this and a bit of that in there when you can just say, we'll play Hunt the Slipper. Well, I've hidden the slipper. Yes. And that's half an hour filled up. And
I mean, some of these games may be making a comeback in isolation times. I think a game of Hunt the Slipper.
Oh, yeah.
Great point.
This is the next book you need to release, Alan, is Victorian parlour games that you can play with the family you are growing to hate. Anyway, but...
And they're all out of copyright, right?
Yeah, exactly.
You just change a word... Repatent it. There you go.
We've got a plan. But so quizzing in the Victorian era, not a thing. So
quizzing in the Victorian era, not a thing, and not at all at the start of the 20th century. There were spelling bees, which took place in real life in barns and things in America, and then made their way onto American radio, and then the BBC sort of tried this out, and then along came World War II, and basically there had been barely any quizzing until the point where some bright spark at the BBC said, you know those bees we do, that thing where you buzz in and you might be right or wrong and you get points, why don't we do that with how to be a good land girl or how to be a good fire warden? So during the war, there was the fire warden's bee and the land girl's bee, where members of the public were tested on how successfully they were digging for victory kind of thing. And when you look in the Radio Times, you know, there's that thing with quiz shows where in the first series they massively over-explain everything. Mm-hmm. So if you watch the first series of Pointless, about 10 minutes go by with Alexander Armstrong going,
yes.
And so we've asked 100 people, we haven't asked them 100 questions, but we've asked 100 people. And the weird thing is, the more people that have said it, that's worse for you. I know, it just goes on and on like that. And you just think, yeah. And but in the early days of quizzing, the whole idea of doing a quiz was so alien that the Radio Times, if you look at the entries, will say, and... The contestants are divided into two teams, each of whom have an electronic buzzer, and the first to press that will catch, and it just sort of goes on like that. So people were simultaneously getting used to the idea that you might be competitive about facts in the world and accumulate points for remembering more of them quickly. And this format, which was the first thing on radio that wasn't like, there's an opera and we're putting it on radio, or I'm going to read out the newspaper, or
it is amazing,
you'll hear a play.
It's, you know, it is much more modern than I certainly would have thought. I mean, I found that your book was full of interesting revelations. Something that struck me particularly was that you said the reason that women didn't generally host quizzes was that people they liked to believe that the host might know the answer, which, of course, they wouldn't believe of a woman, that a woman could possibly know stuff, which really made me laugh.
It's ghastly, isn't it? And I don't know. So that, yeah, there was a particular quote of a kind of senior producer who'd been interviewed by a female academic in the 90s, I think, or noughties, who'd said that. And it's hard to tell whether this is one of those bits of internal TV groupthink where they assume that of the public and the public would in fact be much smarter than them, or whether the public have been as Neanderthal until recent times.
Well, I think it's still going on from my Twitter feed, to be perfectly honest. Yes. And from the number of female quiz show hosts there are.
Well, that's true,
I think your Twitter feed is a cesspool. is it the worst if you get a sport question wrong?
It's not so much whether I get things particularly right or wrong, it's just that I exist as a woman on TV who shows off a bit of knowledge, and I'm either an idiot because I didn't know a certain thing, or I'm a big show off because I did, and how dare I, and it is sadly disproportionate. Yeah. With my colleagues who look a little bit more like people would expect the meanest teacher at school to look.
Yeah.
Perhaps I should put a trigger warning out for these people when the show starts. there's going to be a woman here getting some questions.
Yeah, see a woman quiz. Please don't be afraid.
Did you see this week there was a thread by one of the contestants from the University of
Yes, yeah. It was great.
I wanted to write about that in the book, and then I thought, do you know what? I don't want to go and search out.
It's a drop in the ocean as well. You don't want to get yourself down.
Have you had any gabbins trying to make a pass at you?
Yeah, no. I mean, it's a depressing aspect, but I think things are changing slowly, yes, as they always do. And I mean, so quizzing is now firmly established as a national favourite pastime. What I would like to urge our listeners to do is to buy your book, Alan. Would that be okay with you?
Go on then. Or borrow it from the library.
Library when they're open again. Yeah, Joy of Quiz, which is great. And also, I have read your cryptic crossword book, Two Girls, One on Each Knee. That's correct, isn't it?
I haven't got the title
in front of me. Which, obviously, any cryptic crossword fan will immediately be going, of course, that's Patella, Pat and Ella. Our producer Amanda has just got that one. Very excited. But which is also because I think the quizzing brain and the cryptic crossword brain, often there's quite an overlap, mm-hmm, isn't there? So I would heartily recommend that in these times of self-isolation, people go to the website of their local bookshop and
who can have it the next day.
Yes.
Someone on a fixed gear bicycle will pedal it round. Yes. If you're in East London.
And when you're playing Hunt the Slipper, you can say, oh, hang on, I've just had my delivery of books. Pause this game of Hunt the Slipper. We shall play Postman's Knock
in a
moment.
The slipper shall wait. One of my feet will be cold for the rest of the evening.
Well, Alan, we could talk to you all night and day and for the rest of our self-isolation period, but we do have to get on. So we would love to talk to you again, if that's all right, do a part two, because there's plenty more we need to talk to you about. But for now...
Au revoir.
It's au revoir. Au revoir. Certainly. It's arrivederci. Does that mean...
So long.
So long. I'll look that up and I'll put that in my next quiz. But thank you so much, Mr. Alan Connor, quiz god. So it is yet again time for our favourite part of the show. It's our listener quiz. And today it's been sent in by Alice Cook, who actually has sent in enough questions that we're going to make this a two-parter.
Double header from Alice. Nice
one.
So
this is the first bit. And Amanda, over to you. What does Alice want to know? Oh, we've got a buzzer, by the way, as well.
Yeah, let's hear that first, please. And so you're going to be vying for that buzzer. So,
yes,
you know,
it's fastest finger first. Fingers on buzzers.
Fists on buzzers,
there we
okay.
go.
Okay, so Alice's...
A lot of fisting in this show. The series is fist heavy.
So I blame Nick Helm for that.
Oh, yeah, well, he laid down the
gauntlet. He started a precedence, didn't he?
Yeah, but, filth.
Yeah, okay, so Alice's question number one. According to the legend, which Ethiopian animal discovered the powers of the humble coffee bean?
Wow. What animal needs to... stay awake.
Lucy.
An Ethiopian camel.
Incorrect. An Ethiopian camel.
I don't know why I thought that would be the
I'll
answer.
Go for a
giraffe.
No, that would be good though.
I'd like to see a wired giraffe. I mean, they're pretty full on as it is.
Was it a sloth?
No, wrong continent.
I know it's the wrong continent.
I hate sloths as well, but I will not hear a word of them.
Oh, really? Really? Oh, I thought they were cute. Even cuter on coffee, I'd imagine. No, wired, no. Is it a cat of some description?
Yeah, no, I think you should probably think monkey. About... there's a certain bean, isn't there, which has been processed through...
Oh, the civet.
No.
Yeah, that's it's a type of cat.
Oh, that's... No, then. No?
Okay, it's a different one. Elephants.
I've maybe drank a different kind of coffee.
Oh, my God. I don't think it was coffee.
I don't think it was. What a way to find out.
I don't know.
Snake?
No.
Bat? I don't know.
Coronavirus.
Oh, God. I've got them on the brain. I don't know.
Go on. Tell us.
Goats, apparently.
Oh, there are plenty of goats.
And I've just remembered it wasn't the coffee that I drank through goats. It was...
goat shit coffee. What goat shit was it?
Did you hallucinate, Amanda? Are you still on it? What is going
on? Argan oil when I went to Morocco.
Goat shit argan oil.
They shit it out of them.
Can we not?
And then they pound it open.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a bit grim, isn't it?
It is a bit, but anyway. I still bought two bottles of it.
Wow.
Anyway, goat was the answer there.
It was.
Were you offered any goats in exchange for yourself?
I wasn't, actually. I'd take that as an absolute insult.
No, but when I went to Morocco with my mate Julia, we were trying to barter for some stuff, and then they started to try and sell us some argan oil, these Berber lads. And then it was working out how many camels they would need to pay our dads. And was like, we're out of here, mate. Come on. They give this whole routine to everyone.
Yeah.
Let's get out of here. There we go.
Well.
And then we went and bought some leather goods, which was a similarly harrowing experience. Well, yeah. I don't like bartering. I'm not a fan.
I hate to barter.
I mean, I like bargain hunt, but the bartering bit of it I'd be deeply uncomfortable with.
Mm.
So that's what puts me off going on bargain hunt.
Yeah.
Let's just put that out there. If we were offered, Jenny and I would imagine. Do a team. Yeah.
Imagine. Make Even that better, antiques road trip.
Yes. I'd love to do that with you. I'd love to do an antiques road trip together.
It'd be beautiful, wouldn't it? If you're listening,
we're available and cheap.
We're all available right now. We just can't go on the road trip. No antique buying here unless it's on eBay. Could do an eBay version.
Okay, I'm going to move on to question number two. And it is, Drew Barrymore is the godparent of which deceased rock star's daughter? Lucy.
Kurt Cobain.
Correct.
I didn't know that. Yeah, but that's...
Oh, is there really a bean theme? We had coffee bean, Francis bean.
No, there isn't.
Just what? That would be accidental. Would have been,
yeah. I'm just thinking far too only connect at Very this time good. Of night.
Question number three. Buckle up.
I've buckled.
If the Sydney Harbour Bridge is based on the Tyne Bridge, which bridge in New York inspired both Sydney and Tyne?
Oh, wow. Bridge in New York.
Lucy.
The Brooklyn Bridge.
Yeah, it doesn't look like that.
I can't think of any other bridges.
I'm now thinking of a bridge that I think, was there a disaster? The Verrazano Narrows Bridge.
No.
Is it the Bean Bridge?
I love the way you keep just pressing the buzzer.
bridges of Madison County, bridges of New York.
How many more bridges? I should know lots of bridges, but far too tipsy.
Yeah, we don't know.
If I was in my flat at home, I would be looking at the wall where I have a map of Manhattan.
I'm going to try and give you a clue, because I don't know anything about this bridge, but I'm guessing it's maybe a bridge to a particular borough or area of New York, which is named after which has the name Kitchen in the title.
Hell's Kitchen Bridge?
No.
Kitchen.
I just guess it might not be.
Is it the spatula? I don't know.
No.
These are good questions, Alice, but they're difficult.
Yeah.
Well, it's the Hell Gate Bridge.
I don't know
but I will look it up now.
Wow, Hell Gate Bridge.
Question number four. Who preceded Michelle... I think, Jenny, you're going to have this. Who preceded Michelle Visage as permanent judge on RuPaul's Drag Race? Fingers on buzzers.
No, hang on. I don't think there were any that were...
Jenny.
Santino Rice?
No.
I'm pretty sure he was a permanent judge, but maybe overlapped with Michelle. There was a woman who was on, like, the first two series. Was it a woman?
I don't know.
Oh, great.
But literally,
it's very stagey kind of.
Sheila Bly.
No, it's not a drag.
Or Amich is it? Who was on this show?
Amich is it? I know.
Oh, we need to go to Berlin for.
Yeah, we really do. We keep promising ourselves.
As soon as this travel ban's lifted,
Anna Fabulous.
Go on. Who is it?
Merle Ginsberg.
Yeah, it's the woman who was on before. Yeah, that is a very hard question.
Wow.
Yeah, that is a level. A level 7, I would say.
Even for a drag race fan, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so the
end... I mean, she's not as good as Michelle. Okay. No offence, no Merle, offense, but... Merle.
She's listening. Fine, no. So...
Okay.
Everything's so playful.
So we've got one more question in this part. Which fruit is banned from all modes of public transport in Singapore? Yes.
Durian.
Yes.
Oh, nice.
My go-to banned fruit.
Yeah, no, that's good. It does stink. So, yeah, fair enough. Oh, well, good.
That was a draw.
That's one each, which is, I'll take that. So thank you very much, Alice Cook, for your brilliant listener questions. And we're going to have more of those in a future episode.
Yay.
So there we are, the end of another episode. And Alan Connor, what a star, legend he is.
What he doesn't know about quiz isn't worth quizzing about.
It's not worth it. What he doesn't know, he didn't put in his book. And frankly, everything in his book is amazing. So, yeah.
Well, you dread to think what he's kept for the sequel.
I know. Well, I can't wait to read it. And thank you very much to the lovely Alice Cook.
Yes, part one.
Yes, which was tough. Good.
Tough but fair.
Yeah. So we shall look forward to hearing more from Alice Cook, more at some point from Alan Connor in the future.
I'm already absolutely agog.
Yes, we cannot wait. So we'll see you then. Thank you very much for listening to
Fingers on Buzzers.
Fingers on Buzzers starred Lucy Porter and Jenny Ryan and was produced by Amanda Redman with music by Kevin MacLeod and Justin Edwards. Email quiz at fingersonbuzzers.com and tweet at fingersbuzzers. Thanks for listening and don't forget to join us next time for more Fingers on Buzzers.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.